microbes are going to impact everything. So don't leave your cow's microbial balance up to chance. Make sure you're taking the steps with the silage to put it upright, have the correct inoculant, and make sure that the right microbial population is dominating that fermentation so you get the results that you were hoping for. And, you know, even when you have good quality forages, it's still always a good idea to look at adding a probiotic to that ration so that we can help the cows feed through the challenges without those dips. And it's really important to understand that you have to feed the probiotic, prebiotic, postbiotic every single day to keep that benefit in those animals. So
we want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Hi-D from DSM Firmenich optimizes vitamin D levels to increase milk yield, enhance calcium to phosphorus ratio, and strengthen immunity. With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of SmartAmine M and MilkPay.com. More milk and higher conception rates. Contact AHV to take uterine health to the next level. Lallemand Animal Nutrition, partnering in microbial solutions for a changing world.
Hello, welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. Today, I'm happy to welcome to the show Dr. Tricia Wood, who is a ruminant tech services rep and a field services support manager for Lallemand Animal Nutrition. Tricia, thanks for joining today.
Hi, Barry. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited to talk to you about some microbes.
So I like to start with getting a little bit of understanding of people's background. I was excited to see that we're both Cyclones.
Yes.
You went through Iowa State. Are you an Iowa native?
Yeah, I grew up in Northwest Iowa on a pig farm. So, of course, the natural choice was Iowa State to go to.
Of course, it'd be foolish not. So you grew up on a big farm, multiple species, or what did you guys focus on?
Just pigs. So we had a farrow to finish farm, and now those are like an ancient relic. So my sisters are actually married to pig farmers too. So they stayed in the pig industry, and I got out of it and went to the cattle side.
What made you decide to make that pivot?
Probably being the stinky kid in high school after cleaning farrowing barns. I knew I loved animals, wanted to work with animals, but I originally thought I was going to go to vet school to do large animal, but nutrition pulled me in a different direction.
Sounds good. So you now work with Lallemand. Can you tell us just a little bit about the company? Maybe not everybody's familiar with it.
Yeah, Lallemand Animal Nutrition is a feed company that we offer probiotics, prebiotics, silage inoculants, and some various other feed additives to the industry. And we are focused a lot in services. So we're a little different than other feed companies where we focus a lot in the silage audits, pen audits, looking at TMRs, and really offering solutions based on what we find where we can make improvements on facilities with our customers.
And do you have a particular region, or are you covering the globe? Or
I cover the western half of the U.S., but I occasionally get pulled to other places. I focus most of my career in calves. So anytime that there's a calf need, I get pulled in. So I do some international, usually like one trip a year, but mainly in the western U.S.
Okay. And where are you based?
I live in Idaho. So I've lived here for 13 years, but as you mentioned, grew up in Iowa, so I evidently like the I states.
And people don't know if you live around potatoes or corn. That's at least what I read.
Right. Or Ohio, they get mixed in there too. So yeah, we just like to keep the confusion.
Better feed means better outcomes. This is why Lallemand Animal Nutrition, a global leader in microbial solutions, developed the clean feed approach. Lallemand protects your silage with research-proven forage inoculants, offering expert advice and services to maximize your investment and profitability. Their cutting-edge microbial solutions help boost feed efficiency and production, ensuring you are supported from field to feed out. Learn more at cleanfeedapproach.com.
All right. Well, you said some of what you focus on is service in terms of like doing silage audits and TMR audits and that sort of thing. That gets into feed quality. How does that have an impact, I guess, on a dairy, a calf or a lactating cow?
So overall, we live in a world full of microbes, and microbial imbalances, or also known as dysbiosis, is the cause of pretty much any challenge that we face. So in this world of microbes, silage is very important to control that microbial fermentation and make sure that we're not having nutrient losses. In cows, it's going to be the same, making sure we've got a great microbial balance to have feed efficiency maximized, to have production maximized, and also to have a healthy cow, because over 80% of the immune system resides in that gastrointestinal tract. So if we are not making sure that we're putting good feed into the animals, we're just lining up a lot of challenges for them to deal with. And when they're designed to just produce milk, we can't be throwing in a lot of contaminants in there, or spoilage or wild yeast species, and expect them to be able to do that. So in the cattle industry, we're actually microbial nutritionists, not really cattle nutritionists. And if we don't think about that balance being the most important part of how that animal is going to be able to digest the feed that we're putting into them, then we're doing a disservice to the animals, because we're just going to be trying to make her produce as much milk, but giving her too many challenges to really meet that genetic potential that she has.
Can you help me connect the dots between, let's say, for example, feeding some moldy feed or maybe mycotoxin contaminated feed and the dysbiosis? How are those two things connected?
Those microbes in the rumen are going to be extremely sensitive to any changes in pH, changes in feeding behavior, changes in feeding sources. So when you throw contaminants in there, it is going to be killing a lot of microbes. And when you have microbes being killed, then that means you're going to lose digestibility opportunities that you have in those forages, because those microbes not only are how we take those forages and get them to volatile fatty acids so the cattle can have their energy to produce, but those microbes are so important in also the immune system, because if we have a microbial imbalance, then it ends up leading to barrier function loss, and that ends up leading to inflammation that just keeps going downstream. So when we feed toxins or pathogen contaminated feed or high yeast or mold counts, wild yeast or mold counts, that is going to lead to palatability issues. It's going to lead to dry matter intake losses. And Lance Baumgart has been really talking about how the inflammation patterns we see in transition cows probably is more from the dry matter intake loss that we have, and that leading to loss of that barrier function and the inflammation just cascading from there. So we really need to make sure that we're putting good, clean feed into these animals so that we're not giving them more challenges than they already have.
Yeah, and just to tie this together, if some people have heard different terms, so you're talking about barrier function, you're talking about intestinal cells linking tightly together, and the opposite of that, a lot of people call leaky gut, right? We have those gaps, which I think a lot of people have heard about. Okay, so that's good. That's a nice description of some of the negatives that happen. So when you guys do audits, when you're giving advice, what do you think are some of the key, I guess, pinch points, I guess, for making sure that we don't feed poor quality feed or moldy feed?
So it's really important to know what challenges you're going to be up against before you get to harvest. So it's important to work with a company when you're choosing your inoculant to meet those challenges. And really helpful step to take is having those pre-harvest meetings. So something that our company likes to do is we have the pre-harvest meeting so we can talk with the nutritionist, the owner of the facility. We talk with the feed managers, chopping crews, anybody involved that we need to decide what the goals are for that forage. And we talk about if we had any instability with once the feed was introduced to oxygen, if we had particle size issues, if we had kernel processing issues. All of those are really important in deciding what kind of changes we need to make for the upcoming harvest. That sets you up for success, because then you know that we need to use an inoculant if you have aerobic instability that's going to enhance that. Or we know if we had a drought or hail or any kind of weather events that would have left microabrasions on that plant, we know that we're going to have more issues with possible contaminants, because they love to burrow in those little crevices and wreak their havoc. So if you have that pre-harvest meeting, it leads to a lot less heartache down the road. And then once we get into that pile, we really need to understand what we're feeding. So after you get it really nicely packed and get all that oxygen out of there, after you get it covered and tires on it and you let it ferment, once you open it, you need to know what you're feeding. So we like to monitor those fermentation profiles to see how efficient that fermentation is. We also like to monitor the temperatures to make sure we are having aerobic stability, because any heating, any rise in temperature is going to show that there's dry matter nutrient losses. That means there's spoiled feed that is having microbes control that battle that are not the ones we want controlling it. And yeah, with the microbial balance, whatever population is dominant is going to control that fermentation. So it's important to monitor it afterwards so we know what we're feeding to those cows, because I worked with a facility in Texas that they were feeding some wheatlage with spoilage in it, high butyric acid, and they were having horrible preg rate issues because they had it in at 5%, and it was just enough to overwhelm that animal and not have enough energy to go back to the immune system. So if we can make sure that we put that forage up right, keep it covered, keep critters away, and then monitor how we're feeding it out, it's going to make a lot more successful production overall for your whole herd.
I suspect those types of meetings are perhaps even more important when people are dabbling with different forages, right? It's depending on the part of the country, there's increasing amount of winter forage, you know, cover crops getting harvested and things like that, where people are not very experienced, right?
Yes. And a lot of our winter forages are even harder to put up right because they have hollow stems. So that just leads to more possible air. And fermentation is so sensitive to oxygen. The bugs you want controlling the fermentation are not going to be able to do it if it has oxygen. So it's really important with the winter forages to pack it as well as you can and get it covered as quick as you can, so we don't have some of the more bad players taking over and dominating that.
Another detail there, I dug into this for a talk a few years ago, and it's actually kind of shocking, the optimal packing density, like how much weight you have to put on, especially if it's a big pile, right? And I think some people have been getting better, but I think to me, that's like one of the areas where there's still a huge gap across farms. What do you see, or how do you help people think through that?
So when we're doing our harvest monitoring, we actually have our field support people that go and check the chop length. They go and they watch the pack tractors to make sure that they're putting, you know, layers of 6 inches or less, and doing a progressive wedge to make sure we're packing it. They're not just going up and down, back and forth. They're actually getting the full pile packed. And those little just check-ins help us make sure that our customers are meeting their goals too. We also check for kernel processing for fall harvest. I know that's not something that winter forages need, but when it gets to the fall harvest, that's important to be checking as well. But the dry matter content is going to be very impactful on the success that you have in packing it. So the drier the material that you're putting in there, the more you got to pack it, and the harder it's going to be.
Typical fresh cow incidence of clinical hypocalcemia is 3 to 6%, while subclinical hypocalcemia affects 50% or more mature cows. Based on cutting-edge research, Exelite offers a new approach that is build-effective and the ZDUs. For more information, visit www.protecta.com.
So the other thing I think that's becoming more normal but is kind of new is thinking about like you said, thinking about the challenges that exist in the field even before the chopping, and thinking about how to sort of get ahead of that. You know, there's different viruses that go through in different parts of the country. How do you advise people to work through those issues?
So once you figure out that you have issues in your pile, there's not a lot you can change in the pile, but you have to manage your feeding strategies with that pile accordingly. So that's why understanding the pathogen loads that are on there, or the wild yeast or mold loads, is important. So you understand the level of inclusion that you can have with that product. But also, there are products out in the market that can actually impact how well you can feed that by helping to improve the microbial balance in the cow. So if you're thinking about products that we're feeding, it's typically going to be probiotics or prebiotics, postbiotics to help with that kind of stuff. And there's some really good products out there that actually have research proving time and time again that they are going to help improve the microbial balance. So when the cows have issues that they're coming into contact with, they can fight them off themselves without having the setbacks in production. So an example of that would be Saccharomyces cerevisiae, CNCMI 1077. CNCMI 1077 is the strain designation for that. So it is a strain of active yeast that is going to help balance the rumen by promoting the fiber digesting bugs to be able to replicate the quickest. So we actually have a lot of research on that product. And when you think about yeast companies, you don't think about having an FDA functionality claim, but Saccharomyces cerevisiae 1077 actually has a FDA functionality claim saying that it is a promoter of cellulolytic bacteria. So when you get into these situations that you're feeding challenged forages, if you can give the cow some added support like that, they're going to be able to have the added benefit of the microbes that are being killed by those toxins and spoiled contaminants. They're being repopulated. That is going to be important because we know 80% of a cow's microbial or protein requirement is coming from that microbial protein. So it's going to make sure that we're not shorting them on the fiber or the protein side. And overall, if you have more bugs in the rumen, you're going to have better digestibility of your nutrients. It's going to give you a little bit of a buffer where when they do come into contact with the contaminants, at least you have a big enough population that it's not dominating what's happening in the rumen. And that helps to keep that rumen integrity where it needs to be. There's also other probiotics out there that work in the hind gut. So Saccharomyces cerevisiae boulardii, CNCMI 1079, was discovered in the 1920s, and it was used for cholera mitigation in a lot of different villages. So we feed that now to cows, and that's going to work in the hind gut to help with, when you think about cholera, you think about diarrhea. When you think about spoiled feed, we often think about diarrhea. All of it is a microbial imbalance, but the probiotics and prebiotics, postbiotics, they all have a special fit. So this probiotic is going to be able to improve the barrier function in the hindgut. So we're going to have better mucosal layer. We're going to have better tight junction proteins to keep those cells locked in tight. Because in the hindgut, it's only one cell layer thick. That's really, really easy to have integrity lost very quick. And if you don't have that intestinal integrity, you're not going to have nutrient absorption. So that is a solution that helps in the hindgut, whereas 1077 works in the rumen. There's also yeast cultures out there that are great for feeding the rumen bugs, but they have their limitations on impacting the microbial population because it's just a food source. It's not going to shift the balance. So you hope that it's enough to feed the good bugs to help you get back to where you need to be. Or people talk a lot about moss being able to help bind the toxins, or clay. Those are two great options. If you've got high fumonisin or DOM that you're dealing with, that's going to help you have it bound so that you're not having it wreak havoc in the cow. So overall, if you're looking for a solution to help you feed through a pile that you have to know first what your issue is. So you can look for a product that has research proving it works in that application. And then there really are options out there for you to be able to have a better success feeding what challenges you have.
Could you step us through, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, what you mean by prebiotic, probiotic, and postbiotic?
So I'll start with the probiotic because that's probably the easiest to explain. Probiotic means that it's a live organism that can elicit a positive benefit for the host when you feed it. So these probiotics are going to have a minimum CFU count of 20 billion CFUs per gram. That is going to give enough concentration of these microbes to be able to have an effect in the host. So one thing is important is strain specificity. As I mentioned on those probiotics, they're all going to act different, but all of them are going to be alive. Some will be able to colonize in the gut, some will not. It really depends on what product you're looking at. On the prebiotic side, think about this as being, it's always going to be a dead extract or dead part of a probiotic. And when we think about prebiotics, it's usually moss that we talk about. So moss is actually the cell wall of that yeast molecule, and it has binding properties in it. But overall, it's dead. It's a part of a yeast cell that is dead. So then when you feed it, it provides some gut level support of binding, but it does not have any effect on colonizing, or not always an effect on a specific kind of microbe. Then postbiotics are going to be from the result of fermentation and killing it, and then you feed it and it has metabolites in it and it has nutrients for those good microbes. And it's going to be similar to a probiotic, but it's got more of the culture and the media that the product was grown on typically. So all of them have their own areas that they fit. But when you're looking at the whole scope of the products out there, it can be quite overwhelming. And there's a lot of people that have yeast fatigue, so to say, or probiotic fatigue. And so when you get started trying to figure out what the best fit is for you, just make sure you're looking at what the research for each problem that you have says for a good solution.
And to be clear, the active dry yeast compounds are probiotics.
Yes, right? Those are going to be probiotics.
Yep. And we talked about a lot of steps that might occur over, 6 months of a production cycle. If you want to boil down like some key takeaways that producers should think about to overall improve feed quality and gut health, what are the top three or four things?
First of all, as I said before, microbes are going to impact everything. So don't leave your cow's microbial balance up to chance. Make sure you're taking the steps with the silage to put it upright, have the correct inoculant, and make sure that the right microbial population is dominating that fermentation so you get the results that you were hoping for. And, even when you have good quality forages, it's still always a good idea to look at adding a probiotic to that ration so that we can help the cows feed through the challenges without those dips. And it's really important to understand that you have to feed the probiotic, prebiotic, postbiotic every single day to keep that benefit in those animals. So I would recommend having every animal in the lactating herd on a probiotic because it's a really cost-effective insurance plan to make sure that you're going to let her do what she needs to do. And that's have enough energy for production and for reproduction. Because if we can't get them bred back, we can't have milk from them again. And in the U.S., we have an average lactation number for animals of 2.8 lactation. So that means they're 5 years old and leaving our herd, where replacement costs are expensive. Probiotics, prebiotics, postbiotics can be a great way to keep your cow in your herd and have that longevity by helping her have the microbial balance to fight off what she needs to. So make sure that you're not leaving that up to chance and look at the different solutions out there to help you meet your efficiency goals and challenges that you might be feeding through.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Your partner for extra animal performance, Bergen Schmidt Animal Nutrition. Our Yeast 40, ruminal and intestinal double modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Struggling with post-calving challenges and reproductive performance? Don't wait for problems. Protect uterine health proactively. AHV offers natural science-backed solutions and tailored on-farm support, improving fertility and performance. Learn more at AHVINT.com.
Okay, time for our three famous questions. Looking forward to seeing what you have in store for us. So first of all, what's your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
I mean, this is pretty traditional to say Progressive Dairyman, but outside of that, there is a publication in Idaho that comes out called Ag Proud Idaho. I love reading that because it has submissions from people that I know from this area. It's like local celebrities, you know, and it gives really helpful advice for what the challenges are in this area. And we have a lot of challenges with water and wildfires, droughts, that kind of stuff that's unique to our area of the country. So that's probably my favorite resource dairy related.
Yeah, sometimes with as big as ag has gotten, we can lose track of how regional some of the issues are, right? Local knowledge is still super valuable.
Yes.
Okay, what about your favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Well, I'm recently a manager, so I've been reading a lot of leadership type books. And one that I've read recently that's really been good for me to apply to managing a young team is going to be Leaders Eat Last, by Simon Sinek. And that talks about how important having a circle of trust is in your team, because you're never going to be able to accomplish with your team what you could if you had that circle of trust. So one question it asks that has stuck with me is, would you go into the foxhole with me? And if you ask your team that and somebody says no, you need to understand why, because if they wouldn't go into a conversation and have your back, there's a reason why. And that means your team does not have that circle of safety. So that has been a very easy to apply leadership book that I've really enjoyed getting to use what I learned.
All right, last question. In your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are less successful?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity the last year to meet two dairy professionals that I've looked up to forever. And I'm going to talk about what I what I really appreciate about them, because they are so humble, but their research is applicable, it's practical. It can be brought to producers right away. And those two individuals are Dr. John Robison, who used to be with Fresno State. Now he's doing a lot of consulting on these calf ranches, working with the beef on dairy calves and helping us overcome challenges there that we see. And then also Dr. Jim Drakely, who used to be with the University of Illinois, recently retired. He has been so impactful in the nutrition side in academia, but overall, like, he has very understandable recommendations to give for starters or pre-weaning nutrition. And the fact that, you know, they could go so high level, but they don't, I really respect, because at the end of the day, if we're doing research, we have to be able to bring it back to the producer and have it matter to them.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Enjoyed the conversation and look forward to interacting with you again.
Yeah, thank you so much. I enjoyed my time too, and hope to get to talk to you more in the future as well.
So again, our guest today has been Dr. Tricia Wood from Lalaman Animal Nutrition. And this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. If you haven't liked the show and you enjoy this episode, make sure you follow it so you don't miss the next one. And we'll see you then.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.